Come on in to Margaret McSweeney's Kitchen for Kitchen Chat, where every week you'll meet chefs, cookbook authors, foodies, gourmets, and just plain people who love to eat. And along with laughter, chat, recipes, and stories about food, you'll sometimes also hear words of inspiration, love, and hope. As Margaret always says, Kitchen Chat is food for the senses and food for the soul. So grab a cup of coffee, put your feet up on a comfy chair, and get ready to spend a little time with Margaret and her friends.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kitchen Chat. This is your host, Margaret McSweeney, and I'm just delighted you're joining me in my kitchen today. I hope that you will visit me often out of the kitchen, too, at www.kitchenchat.info. I would love to hear from you and also on Facebook at Kitchen Chat. So anyway, today we have a fabulous guest. I'm just so honored to have him on the show. He has been named Food and Wine's Best New Chef. In addition, he was Chef of the Year in 2012 with the Jean Bouchet Award. And Travel and Leisure has named his restaurant, GT Fish and Oyster, one of the best seafood restaurants in the U.S. So welcome to Kitchen Chat, Chef Giuseppe Tintori. First of all, I love how your restaurant is described as being as redefining the American seafood restaurant. And congratulations on all the accolades that you've been receiving.
Thank you very much. You know, to receive all those accolades is because my team is really, really good.
Yes, your team and you and the food. And, you know, I'm not a connoisseur on seafood, so I cannot wait to hear about the wonderful ingredients you pair with the different types of fishes and oyster and everything. First of all, you know, listeners, I'm sure you're right here on the same page with me. When you think of Chicago, you don't really think of it as a seafood capital. We have Lake Michigan, sure, but you have truly, you know, been named one of the best seafood restaurants in the United States. Where do the fish come from? How do you source the seafood?
Well, we source the seafood with our seafood purveyor, and not with the new technology, but like all seafood is flying in almost like every day. So we buy from our local purveyor, but we buy also from purveyor from New York and sometimes from Hawaii.
Wow.
So these days, you can find pretty much whatever you need on a daily basis. And you're very lucky for that. So before, it was very hard to get seafood or beautiful, even produce. But
yes.
Like, you know, in these days and era, you can find pretty much everything. Like from the oyster that we buy in the summer from New Zealand, because it's winter over there. So we can find amazing products in this, especially in Chicago.
And this is great. And Chicago definitely is a hubbub of imports and everything. So here's my question. How do you determine the different tastes of the oyster? You mentioned New Zealand oyster. So does a New Zealand oyster have a different taste than one you'd find off of the coast here in the States?
Well, you do. Like, let's put it this way. Like, in wine, you have the terroir, and it gives you, like, a different flavor of wine, especially can be from France or New World or World. You can tell the different wine. Oyster is kind of the same thing. So here at the restaurant, funny you said that, we have our oyster shucker is very passionate with oyster. So his nickname at the restaurant is called Oyster Melier. Like, you have so many at the restaurant. Here we have an oyster melier. And we are all year long. We have, like, between 95 to, like, 100 different variety of oyster. And we buy all the oyster, like, seasonally. And between East and West Coast, you know, people recommend, like, oh, you should try the East Coast or the West Coast. I think with oyster, they have, like, such a unique flavor and texture. You can almost taste like the ocean, like the place where they grow. It's unbelievable.
So,
I can go in depth a little more with oyster. Like, it's not just people that like these days that compare East and West all the time, but there is a little bit more to talk about oyster, like not just the size. It's like where they come from. Most of the oyster are farm raised. Some that are wild, and usually they're from New Orleans. We buy just a few of those because they're very, very salty and briny. Not for everybody.
And that's so interesting. I never thought of the ocean or whatever as being a terroir, you know, but you're right. It it has different flavors, I can imagine. And I must ask this, is there an easy way to shuck the oyster? I mean, I guess there are different types of wine openers, and how do you best recommend to get the oysters open?
Well, the best way to open an oyster, you need to have a cloth, and the oyster goes down a little, like the shell, if you look at it as a big dip down. It's very hard for me to describe the artichoke and oyster in not just on words and not on not alive.
Right.
So the best thing, like you put the oyster on a towel and you try very gently, don't push too hard in, so you don't destroy the oyster. But at the same time, you want to be very gentle just to open the top shelf, and then it goes in as like a two muscle, the oyster, attached to each shell. So you want to cut the first muscle. Then you want to flip the oyster and cut the other muscle.
Okay. So
and you don't want to take too much juice out of it because you want to drink that juice.
Great. Oh.
And every oyster that you eat, remember, is alive.
Oh, okay. I never really thought about that. Okay.
Yeah.
So do they ever escape or?
Well, they're alive because you don't want to, like in lobster, you don't want to eat like a dead lobster.
That's true.
So you want to make sure they're always alive. Same thing with the oyster. You want to make sure they're alive. I like a dead oyster really smell like rotten eggs almost.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, this I am learning so much. And listeners, you're just learning right along with me. This is wonderful. Well, I was so interested in reading that, and I've forgotten one of the publications, that you consider that sardines are really one of the most underrated seafood types. Is there a reason of this? And is there, you know, are there some dishes with sardines you're considering?
There is few reasons why. One, some people, they maybe are like best sardine experience because sardine, they are very oily, a little fishy. Mm. They have a little strong flavor. So the best way is like you can pickle them, you can grill them. And also sardines, they're not easy to clean. You know, take a lot of labor. You have to scale them, you have to gut them, you have to fillet, you have to pimbone, and they're so tiny.
Right.
So a lot of, a lot of restaurants, they prefer to have like a giant big fillet, like a nice halibut, nice salmon, and they cut them and it's done.
Hmm.
And also sardine life, shelf life, such a small fish, it will last you like 2 days maybe at the restaurant. After that, it's gone.
Hmm.
If you think about it, when you go out for dinner, the first thing you look at on the menu, hey, I see like this beautiful scallop or halibut or soft shell crab or whatever's in season, that's what you order. Sardine will be the last thing you order.
Hmm.
That's why I think it's a little underrated.
Oh, but you do feature, I notice, on your menu, grilled sardine.
We have them on the menu.
Yes, and you pair it with, and what is tomato panzanella?
Tomato panzanella, it's an Italian classic salad. When you dry your bread and then you soak them in tomato. And the way we do it, we saute the bread and then after it's done saute, so it's nice and crispy, we soak them in a little tomato water and then we warm it up in the oven again. So it most tastes like a tomato bread pudding.
Oh, that sounds delicious. And paired with sardines, that is great. Another fun pairing, I never thought about this, octopus, and you pair it with a yogurt, preserved Meyer lemon and purple potato. How does that work together?
It works kind of well, but you need to cook the octopus the right way. That's why sometimes people are like, oh, I had a bad experience of octopus, very chewy. Well, it goes a few ways. One, maybe it was not cooked right.
Hmm.
And two, the octopus, after it's cooked, you have to like make sure you recook him again, like in the way you want to serve him, if it's grilled or it's seared. And we'll be paired with yogurt and Meyer lemon, and there is some olives in there too. I like all those flavors, they go very well with the octopus because after it's seared, it tastes like kind of bacon almost. Like, you know, it's got this crispy, smoky flavor.
That sounds delicious. That really does sound delicious. With, you know, the summer upon us and everything, finally, we all survived the polar vortex here in Chicago. A lot of people are striking up the grills right now. Do you have any takeaway tips for our listeners who would like to grill seafood? Is this something that...
Yes. So people, when the people, like, including my wife or... when I go and buy seafood, the last thing I think is like, how am I going to grow this piece of fish, you know? Mm-hmm. Or I want to grow some fish. Why should I buy it in the store? And I think about salmon right away. Salmon is a great product to grill. But there's so many other great things. Like, I will try to buy like a whole fish. And if you're not sure how to grill them, wrap them in foil, stuff them with citrus and a little butter, mm-hmm. and put them on top of the grill so they'll give it nice flavor. King crab, believe it or not, like there is a store in Chicago called, grocery store called Mariano.
Yes.
They have like gray king crab. So you can go by the king crab claw and you just warm it up on the grill. And then you finish it with a little butter and it's unbelievable.
Oh, that does sound good.
And also, like, you know, with the seafood, I think one of the best things to do is like do a little skewer with shrimp, scallop, some vegetable, can be mushroom or pepper or onion. You put like salt and pepper and olive oil. Make sure your grill is always clean. And after you clean the grill, you want to take a towel and put a little bit of blend oil on the towel. And then you rub the grill and then you put your fish on top of it.
Oh, that's a great...
So the grill is clean and seasoned and then the fish will not stick to the grill. And the last step, make sure your grill is very hot when you grill fish. So give a nice char so you can flip the fish and the fish will not stick to the grill.
Those are great tips. And how would you recommend that we utilize your GT hot sauce, the burn and smolder, in preparing some of these items at home? Can those be used in the grilling process for marinating, or what would you recommend?
Yes. So we have two types of hot sauces. One is called smolder and one is called burn. So the burn, it's a little hot and it's green. Usually I use the sauce when I make some fish taco and all. Or usually even when I still like when I cook a little Mexican food. But the smolder, with that one, I have like a green egg on them. So what I do, I make a little marinade with butter and smolder. And I marinate like a whole chicken for 2 days. So it's got like a buffalo wings flavor.
Mm.
And then I grill the entire chicken. And it tastes so good.
Oh, that sounds great. And listeners, I want to make sure I include a link of where you can get this hot sauce at $7 each. A great price point for a delicious addition to the food you prepare at home.
These are sauces. You can buy them through the restaurant, call in the restaurant, go online, or you can go to the Mariano stores or PQM also.
Oh, wonderful. So there are other options here. That's terrific. I can't wait to try one. Now, one thing, Chef Giuseppe, I've never tried, and that is caviar. And I notice you have caviar service. Can you talk a little bit about caviar, the flavor, the differences, the varieties?
Yes. So the first thing, and when people think about caviar, they think about fish roe.
Yes.
When you call something caviar, it has to come from a sturgeon. Like salmon roe or a tabico, which is coming for fly fishing, that's not real, like the real caviar. When you call caviar, it has to come from a sturgeon. We have it from like a few different places in the world. One, it's we got from the United States, and it's called American Siberian.
Mm.
One, we have it from Italy, then it's called Caviari or Cetra, Prestige. Also, we have it from Germany.
Wow.
And all those places, besides like get it from Russia or Iran, which is very, very expensive, those places are a little less expensive. So what we put on the menu usually range between $70 to like $190 per ounce. We like to do the traditional accoutrement, which is egg white, egg yolk, caper, onion. We use a little citrus creme fraiche. And we serve them with Bellini, Russian style Bellini, which looks like a little pancake.
Huh.
You put a little yeast, so they will puff a little bit more fluffy.
Yes.
But also caviar, people are like, oh, I eat caviar, it was too salty, it was not my type of caviar. That depends, one, on your budget that you have, you know. You want to try like a decent caviar, not a caviar you find in a grocery store on the shelf. That's, don't get me wrong, it's not bad, but it's not what you want to try for the first time.
Right.
And not even the last time. Like caviar is a little bit more like the egg, first of all, they have to be, you know, when you buy them, they want to make sure that can pop your mouth so they're not all mushy. And you want to make sure it doesn't taste too much like, you know, sturgeon is a bottom feeder, so make sure it doesn't taste too much like mud. Depend like how the caviar was made too, because it's not just from which sturgeon is coming from, but also depend which farm it's coming from and how they process the caviar. And there is like three different type of caviar. There is Cervuga, which is a little the cheaper one. Then there is Ocetra, and then there is Beluga. And then also depend, they give it this name on the size and the type of the sturgeon. Like Beluga, there are these, I think they're like a 60 to 80 year old type of sturgeon, and the eggs are beautiful and huge, but it's very, very hard to find. Like 1 year was illegal to have Beluga in the United States because they had to kill the sturgeon. When you eat caviar, if you are at home, one little suggestion.
Yes.
Try to use a plastic spoon or mother pearl spoon. You don't want to use like stainless steel spoon because the tannic from the steel and the caviar will not go together and the egg will not taste the same.
Wow. So use a plastic spoon for caviar. I love the pairing, a 10-cent spoon with a $100 dish. That's great.
Yeah. Well, if you think caviar, you know, price-wise, if you go online or you try to buy caviar, the true caviar, you know, it will go like from $110 per ounce up to like $1,000 per kilo. So it's, you know, it's a unique thing. If you can find like some decent caviar, decent place, you should try at least once.
Oh,
but remember, caviar
great.
Is coming from sturgeon.
From sturgeon, okay, and it has to be kind of like the champagne type of thing, where it has to come from champagne.
Well, the champagne is more. Then we talk about terroir. You know, to be cultured champagne is coming from France, the region of champagne. Everything else is sparkling wine. This is a little different. It's just like come from sturgeon. And usually, sturgeon you find like everywhere in the world, they are farm raised.
Okay.
But yes, you want to make sure it's you can do that.
Yeah, so make sure it's sturgeon. This is so fascinating. And one other interesting tidbit I read too, Chef Giuseppe, is that with lobster, you had mentioned that the best tasting part actually are the knuckles of a lobster.
You did a lot of homework. The best part are the knuckle because they're a little tender. The tail, I think it's always a little, even if it's the best part of the lobster, it's a little chewy. But if I had to eat lobster all my life, I would love to eat knuckle all the time.
Oh, that's great.
So next time when somebody's listening, trying to cook some lobster, cook also the lobster, the tail and the claw, a different temperature. Do not put the whole lobster in your water bath at the same time. Like the tail, we cook them at the restaurant for 3.5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And the claw, we cook them in the boiling water for like 4 minutes.
Oh, that is great to know. Thank you for all these wonderful tips. And I just, on a fun side note too, Chef, I had thought GT Fish and Oyster was named after you, Giuseppe Tintori, Fish and Oyster, but it's General Temptation. Is that right?
Well, nobody knows how to pronounce my name, Giuseppe Tintori. I think everybody has a hard time with that. So
right.
I think GT is more like a label, and people that want to go a little more deep, they do some research. It's like, oh, that's what it stands for. Giuseppe Tintori. That crazy chef, yes.
Not a crazy chef. And I love that. I hear that, okay, you have this wonderful fish-centric place, GT Fish and Oyster, but also in 2015, you'll be opening a meat-centric place, GT Prime. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. GT Prime is going to be the same concept as GT Fish, but with a lot of meat.
With a lot
so
of
people
meat.
So people, they can, it's not going to be a steakhouse. It's going to be a farm place with a ton of meat. Not just meat cut, but like, we're going to have some offal on the menu. It can be like veal cheeks, or it can be a liver, it can be a brain, it can be a tripe, tail, a lot of fun stuff.
Art. Yes, a lot of fun culinary things going on. This is so exciting. And also, listeners, GT Fish and Oyster now serves brunch. Is that right, on Sundays?
Yes, we serve brunch on Saturday and Sunday, not just
great.
Sunday.
Great. Oh, wonderful. That's a great addition, and that's a fun...
GT also is open all time. We do lunch 5 days a week, brunch 2 days, and dinner 7 days.
Wow, you are very busy, and I just so appreciate your taking the time from your busy schedule to be on Kitchen Chat, Chef Giuseppe. And listeners, I'll make sure that I include a link to his wonderful restaurant and also highlight those takeaway tips for grilling. This sounds wonderful. And thank you so much, Chef, for being on Kitchen Chat.
And like some people that don't understand my accent, just tell them to call me at the restaurant, okay?
I will. No worries. This is great. And listeners, in your busy day, please take a moment and savor the day.
Thanks for joining Margaret for Kitchen Chat today. Margaret would be so excited for you to drop by and visit with her at kitchenchat.info, where you'll enjoy podcasts, blogs, recipes, tips from chefs, and even great giveaways. She invites you to share your recipes and kitchen stories too. As Margaret always says, savor the day.